didn't play with her as much. I used to jam on the beats instead. And then one day I came back from the temple, and I didn't bring her that day. I left her at the house. I told you this, right? And I walked in the door, and I hear this boom from the other room. It was her tail, like beating on the floor. I was like, oh my God, what's going on in there? I was thinking that she must have done something mischievous, because she didn't come into the room to greet me like she usually did. She was just in the other room. And I walked into the room, and she had taken the jump for beats and chewed them to pieces. Completely chewed them to pieces. I was so envious of those beats.
It's material consciousness.
Yeah. She was like, she knew she did something wrong. I mean, yeah, she knew she did something wrong. And she did something else too. It was pretty far off. It's another story. When she wouldn't let me in the house.
When you went back?
When I went back, yeah. 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 I went back to the house just a few months after I moved into the temple, because I just left it with my friend. And the temple president asked me to go back to the house and get my car. I had left my car. The engine blew up and I left it in the parking lot. So he was thinking, why don't we fix it and use it for the temple? So I said, I don't have the papers. The papers are at the house where I used to live. He said, why don't you go back to the house and get them? So I drove back to the house about 100 miles away. And I came in the back door of the house. And my dog was sitting there. And she was growling. She was really angry. She wouldn't let me in the house. And usually it's not like that. Usually they don't forget after a few minutes. She wouldn't let me in the house. I had to break in the basement to go down to the basement. She wouldn't let me in the house.
She was hurt.
Huh?
She was hurt.
She was really hurt.
I didn't think dogs would do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because I didn't. I stood her up. I just left her. She didn't forget. Anyways, I shouldn't talk so much about a dog. She taught me a lot. In one sense. What the dangers of attachments. I went all the way to New Vrindavan because of her. I didn't want to leave her. And then, and there were some more stories about New Vrindavan. Oh my God. I moved into the farm the day after. There was, I don't know if you ever heard, in 1973, in June, some people from the south came to New Vrindavan with guns and started shooting buckshot. Not guns, but they were buckshot. And shooting the devotees. A lot of the devotees were really injured. And that happened the day before I arrived in New Vrindavan. So everybody was really, very intense. That's when they took Kirtananda up to the top of the hill and they had to dig his own grave. And then after he finished digging the grave, they were going to shoot him. But that was after he dug the grave, it was a very, very loud sound. It sounded like a gunshot. And what it was, one of them had pushed Radha Vrindavan Chandra over one of the, and the Didi fell on the ground. Radharani fell and her hand was broken. But the noise sounded like a gunshot. So they left. And it was a heaven.
Unimaginable.
Yeah, and I showed up the day after. And it was a very difficult time on the farm at that time. We were very, very nervous. Nobody was killed, but some devotees were severely injured. America. Yeah. But I didn't stay. I stayed maybe, I can't remember how long I stayed, maybe 2 weeks. Something like that. It was very austere. Extremely austere. I had to get up at 2:30 in the morning. There was no showers. We had to bathe in muddy water. And all we had to eat was oat water. Yeah, oat water with a little rice in it. Yeah, they didn't have enough oats to make oatmeal. They would just put some oats in and make a big, big, big pot of oat water. So it was flavored like oats. And then they put some rice in. And that was breakfast, lunch. And it was very, very austere in those years. Every now and then. White rice and oat water. That was it. Every day. And then the Mahaprasadam was served out. And, you know, if you're lucky, you got a quarter of a chapati for lunch. That's amazing stories. And,
how you left Maharaj?
How did I leave? You heard it, right?
Yeah.
I left in the middle of the night. I left in the, because I when I arrived, I gave the keys to my car to Kirtananda Swami, and I said, "Yeah, I'll take my car. I don't need it anymore. I'm donating it." And then after a couple of weeks, I went up to him one day. I said, "Maharaj, I forgot something in the trunk of the car. Can I get the keys?" "You're not going to steal my car, are you?" No, Maharaj, no. So, it was in the middle of the night, it was like about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. I went down in the car, and there was another devotee. It was Hrishikesh. I don't know how he knew I was leaving. I don't know how he knew. But I was getting in the car, I put all the things in the car, and he comes running down from the hill. He said, "You're leaving, aren't you?" And I thought, "Oh no." I thought he was. And then he had his things with me. He said, "Get me out of here." He threw his things, in the car, and he lied down on the floor in the back seat. He said, "Quick, go, get out of here." Because in Mubindava, there was no way to get out. It was way off in the middle of nowhere. There was no public transportation. You could go hitchhiking, but there was no cars. It was in the middle. If you wanted to, you had to be ready to walk 100 miles before you would get someplace where there was civilization, literally. And so, that was one of the advantages the devotees had there, that if somebody came, they could never leave. So I had a getaway car. So, he said, "Get me out of here."
So did Kirtananda ever asked anything after, or did you have any contact with
him? I did. He knew, but he never said anything. He and I had. He was a very mystical person. I mean, in those years, he was like a very mystical person. And I went, when I was living in the temple, I was doing traveling sankirtan. There was a devotee who was a carpenter. His name was Naksha Sanimi, who went to joined in Boston, but he went to New Vrindavan. And he was a really good carpenter. And Kirtananda Swami wouldn't let him go. He wanted to leave, he wouldn't let him go. So I was doing book distribution nearby, and I came to steal him, to bring him back to Boston. And I knew where he was working. I found out exactly he was working on the barn. He was building the barn door. And it was nowhere near Bahulaban. It was like up the road, like at least about a half a mile up the road, in the middle of nowhere. So I pulled over on the side of the road, and I climbed over the hill, and I was looking at the barns to see if I could find Akshatanya. Sure enough, I saw him working on the barn. I called out his name. Akshatanya, he saw me. He said, "Naranjana, Naranjana." So, I immediately got down off of my base as he got down off his base. As soon as I got up, Kirtananda was standing right in front of me. I don't know how he knew I was there. He just looked at me and said, "You're not going to steal Naksha to name me, are you?" So I said, "Oh, no. I just came to see Naksha to name me." And then I went for the Sunday feast program. We took the feast, and then I was getting ready to leave. And I was driving up the road. And then Naksha Chaitanya came running over the hill. He jumped in the van, got on the floor, and said, "Get me out of here." So I had some other things with Kirt. He was pretty upset with me. First I stole his car, then I stole his Modi. And then there was something else too. I can't remember what it was. Anyways. But he never talked to me about it. Again. Maybe it was New Rajadam was like that in the old days.
We had more than
old water. Yeah.
We had zucchini for
lunch. Oh, really? Zucchini. We used to pick weeds, and boil them. That was our sabji. Yeah. We had a garden, but the garden was just for the deities. It was a Mahaprasada. There was no big gardens. And the devotees were growing wheat. But when I came, it was June. It was too early for harvest. And we had oat water and pokeweed. If you're, I'm not sure what it is. It's sort of like a purple flower. It grows wild. It's weed. Mm-hmm. And that's what we used to boil for our subjects. But if you really want to hear some stories, you should talk to Radhanath Maharaj. He'll tell you some, because he was there a lot longer than I was. I used to visit quite regularly after I joined the Boston Temple. We'd go there and visit in traveling sanctuary. Very, very austere. You'd catch the water. When it would rain, it would flow down the hill, mountain. And they dug this sort of like a gut where the water would come down. It in a plastic catch-all. And at 2:30 in the morning, all year round, that's where we were. And the water was always muddy. It's like you think you're washing yourself, but actually, after you finish, you get more mud on you than when you started. And then full day. Work on the farm. That was 1973. Yeah, Prabhupada wasn't there that year. Prabhupada was there in 1972. And he gave his vision for New Vrindavan. Anyways, I don't want to start. I could tell a lot of stories about New Vrindavan. Are you recording? No. No. Yes?
Not anymore.
I can delete it. I can delete it if you
want. No, I didn't say anything. That's so bad. Except New Vrindavan doesn't have that reputation anymore. Stealing and keeping, imprisoning devotees. Prabhupada used to refer to the devotees in New Vrindavan, he used to refer to them as inmates. If I can read his letters, look up inmate in the folder. And Kirtananda Swami used to take advantage of that. The inmates of the Vrindavan. I was somehow able to escape. You know what I did after I left, don't you? Did I tell you?
No.
I didn't tell you. Yeah, after I left, I drove all the way back to... dropped off the devotee, ran into the car, dropped him off in New York, and then I went up to Boston. I shouldn't say this, I won't say. I went up to, and I went up to my girlfriend, and I proposed to her to marry him. And she said, I won't play second fiddle to Krishna. She said, either I'm number one, or forget it. That was it. Krishna just took care of everything. Yeah, this is a term in English, second fiddle. Is there something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we had that.
Yeah. Well, she said, no second fiddle for me. She's either I'm number one or... She made it so clear. She just removed all doubts from my mind.
But when you moved in, she used to call you up? You had some stories like that?
Yeah, that's when... Yeah, she called up once. And treated us. I answered the phone, and I said to her... I said to him, I said, what should I tell her? He said, tell her to get lost. So I picked up the phone and said, get lost! Is it? I never heard from her yet. Tridas was always kind of worried, thinking that she would try to come back and get me, but she didn't. That's what it's like joining in those days. Yeah. Anyways.
You'll be here tomorrow morning, Maharaj?
I think I'm supposed to give class tomorrow morning.
6 to 18.
I am? Did you hear I'm supposed to give class? You don't know.
You told me.
Well, I told you that Shiva Maharaj suggested a good class, but I didn't hear that I am giving class. Yeah, I'm here tomorrow morning. I don't even know where I'm going to the front. I think he didn't make it clear, Shiva Maharaj. Kind of left it open-ended. He said he has things to do here also. He was originally thinking of leaving tomorrow night, but he said he doesn't think he will. So, all I can say about Govinda's club is, we'll see.
Okay.
I'm still here. I feel bad I didn't read from teachers in Kunti.
So nice.
We have some time, huh? Raj.
It was so nice.
If you want to, we have the time.
Besides Bhagavatam classes in the morning when I read the verse I'm supposed to read, this is the only thing I've been speaking from since May, I think. It's May. Yeah. I've only just scratched the surface.
Well, if you have the back to sit, we can listen.
No, but I have roused the chair. Yeah. I was up late this morning. I was exhausted yesterday's driving. You still have roused the chair.
Did you have these okay, Marisha? So.
I went through a whole series of tests in Kazakhstan because I had some pains and did everything. And they discovered a lot of things that they told me I gotta watch out. And they want to put me under observation. Otherwise, I'm feeling.
Take care.
It's nothing serious. They thought it was something serious, but as it turned out, it wasn't.
With your back or something?
No, my stomach.
You're on some kind of diet now?
I've been on some kind of diet for the last 20 years.
Always. Yes, we know you.
Yeah, I have to I'm taking this medication. I have to eat 5 to 6 times a day, small. I can't eat meals in, just small amount. 5 times a day. And I have some livers with the livers with the issues with the liver. Also, I had some medication for that. But it was actually Krishna's arrangement. I didn't know. I went there for something else, and he did. Oh my God! So many tests they did on me in Kazakhstan. It was an endoscope without any anesthesia. I don't know if you've ever had an endoscope done.
No, for sure. Yeah. I just heard it's painful.
You know what it's like. Yeah. He kept me convulsing on the table for 10 minutes. Nothing, everything came back negative. Not everything, but nothing serious. It could become serious. That's basically the warning I got. It could become serious if I don't watch it. It's anything, everything in the material world is serious. Think about it. It's their way of telling you, you're going to grow old and die. Papa had already told us that a long time ago. Of course, may not grow old, but... Papa said, don't think this won't happen to you. We were young. He was in his 70s. He said, don't think this won't happen to you. Which reminds me, I have to take my next installment. Is there something made?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a potato.
Potato? What a surprise. Let me guess. It's either mashed or baked.
In between.
In between?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's like oven baked in one piece.
Huh?
Oven baked in one piece.
Is it one piece?
Yeah.
Well, that's baked.
Yeah, but not regular baked. It's
that's
different.
Baked potato.
It's baked potato.
That's what they call.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
So many different varieties in spiritual life.
Round potato. Big potato.
Yeah. Prabhupada said, right? Spiritual life is filled with unlimited varieties. What potatoes are. But better than white rice and oat water. Okay, I'll go. I'll take it. Is it ready?
Quinoa. And
quinoa.
Yes, and vegetables.
A potato is coming for the evening. Yeah, yeah, it's only the 5 o'clock meal. Yeah, it's what you said.
Sugar
tone?
No.
You got itchy?
No.
Это все, да?
Да.
Хорошо. Я готов.
Спасибо.